should start.
Well, I tell you what, that tennis ball thing, you know, to stop Lincoln Magic.
Yeah.
We're studying, we're still in Pisces. And it is, we studied, the first decan of Pisces was the actual band that's connecting the two fish.
Everybody get a Bible.
Everybody get Pisces?
Two here, please.
Yeah, we got Pisces.
A couple lines of cover.
Turn the map completely upside down.
Somebody get Harry's Bible by accident.
Pisces is the, starting at Virgo, Pisces is a seventh sign. Its three decans are, the Pisces themselves are the two fish that are tied by the band. And the band itself is the first decan. Then Andromeda, right above the fish pointing northward.
That doesn't have anything to do with like Andromeda.
Andromeda is the...
Islamic goddamn.
No, look closely at Andromeda.
Oh, Andromeda.
She's a woman in chain. She's chained both with her wrists and her legs.
I'm not there yet. Where is it?
Take the map. One more time around like that.
Okay. Yes, hey, Pete, where the microphone
might be used. I'm in pain. I can't talk. I can't concentrate.
Pisces are.
We've studied the band, and we studied the Pisces itself. And if you want, you can. If you missed it, you can.
Bribe Pete. What do you mean by band?
See, it's the two fish. The Pisces is made up of two fish.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They're tied together with a ribbon or a band.
I get it.
Wow. And I'm not going to repeat all that, but...
I understand.
Now, the first decan was the band itself, as I said. Now, the next one is Andromeda, right above the fish that's pointing towards the center. You see, everybody see Andromeda?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, she's in chain.
Now the band is the thing.
The ribbon that's tied.
The ribbon connects the fish down to.
Both fish are connected to the band, and you'll see that the lamb or Aries has its leg on the band. But it's also look.
Fish.
It's like it's connected to the monster, Cetus.
Yes, Cetus. So where's the other fish?
There's two fish.
One
is
fish.
Well, so follow the band.
Bands.
Yep. Go to the right.
Two bands. One that goes to that fish. One goes to this fish.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Everybody see it?
Yeah. I was looking for the fish down there.
Now, I'm not going to repeat everything about Pisces and the band. We're going to study Andromeda tonight. The name Andromeda means ruler of man. That's what the name itself means. And yet the ruler of man is in chains, and bound in chains. Doesn't make any sense.
By Satan, the ruler of the world.
The woman is bound in chains not by Satan, but by your flesh.
Same thing.
It's not the same thing. Now, in the most ancient of the planispheres, there's an interesting phenomenon.
What are planispheres?
Planetariums where they look and have all of the stars.
Yeah, okay.
And
Sharon couldn't make it tonight to ask all these questions. She didn't work.
In the most ancient of the planispheres, the sign Pisces and those two fish had the body of a fish and the head of a woman. In all of the ancient first century Christianity, the believers were called fish, Ithacus, and that because of this whole idea of Jesus being the fisher of, I mean, he's going to make you fishes of men, and again, you've got to listen to the, I'm not going to go through all that again, we spent two different Bible studies on
it. It's on tapes.
It's on the tapes. Now, the star names and the sign are really kind of interesting. I'm not going to try to point out which stars are which, but One is the broken down, the other is the weak, another is the afflicted, and another is the chained. And that's the actual names of the stars, which makes no sense, just as the ruler of man makes no sense to the natural mind.
But are these names on the chart, or they're just
no,
names?
No, they're just, you can't see them on the chart. The reason that she is the ruler of man is because she is the reason that mankind exists. So do you see the idea?
Bride.
It's, right. And it's the idea that the first miracle of Christ was to turn the water of the human race into wine, which symbolizes is the bride.
They also.
Now, she's bound to the flesh.
Oh.
And the reason she's bound is to learn obedience. Obedience doesn't mean, we've spent much time on this in the morning Bible studies, but obedience literally means to hear under. And that's why in the Old Testament, when it talks about following the law, it always says, observe to do, observe to do. And so the whole mystery of obedience is not somebody telling you what to do and then you do it. That's angels.
It's like the old, I go kick the wall because I want to kick the wall.
I'll get there. What God wants from us is for us to do what he wants without him telling us. That's what fellowship is. That's what Christ, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And the same is true with you. There can be no learning obedience without suffering. And until you get that in your head, suffering will always be strange. And if you believe suffering is strange, then you believe a false gospel. So let's look at some of these.
I'd be damn obedient.
Well, before we do that, let's look at some general stuff about Pisces, which is interesting. Remember, in the first century, the Pisces was the name of the church. That's the name of the believers, the Ithacus.
Sure.
Among ancient nations, we'll talk about Pisces. Among the ancient nations, Pisces was considered the most unfavorable of all of the signs of the zodiac. The zodiacs describe its influence as malignant and interpret its emblems as indicative of violence and death. The Assyrians, the Egyptians, and many of the Arabians never ate fish from the dread and abhorrence associated with the sign. In the hieroglyphics of Egypt, the fish is the symbol of odiousness, dislike, and hatred. When you read, if you can interpret the Egyptian hieroglyphics, the fish, whenever you see it, it's always a negative influence. The fish is on in the hieroglyphics. The true church's attributes will always be odious to mankind. And until you see that, you'll never be a faithful follower of him.
Makes
it's always obedient, odious to the world's value systems.
Fish stink.
The believer lives by humility, sacrifice, self-denial, and all these are in the exact opposite of the value system of the world. Suffering, death, vulnerability, poverty, are in direct conflict with man's need for self-realization and success. And they inhibit the passions and enjoyments and pleasures of mankind. And this is why the fish, the sign of the fish, was so odious to the non-believer. Just as the true church is odious to the world. Now, the problem is, when man becomes a believer, he tries to use God to become successful. And that is apostasy of apostasy. And that is what's going on in the world today. Now, the scriptures that we're going to read indicate this chain business so that we can see it more clearly. Paul talks always about he'd rather be gone, but he's in the flesh for the purposes of others. I can testify to that with 100% truth, that I would much rather be gone, because I've visited that place on 3 different occasions, and it is mind-bending in terms of its joy and peace. So let's look at some scriptures. Let's go first to Hebrews 5.
Now, your experience with that, and the last thing we talked to about, you know, the bathroom and that's doesn't bring right out to me. Otherwise, I really don't think I would be here today. I mean, I just go, there's just no reason for me to put up with this.
Hebrews 5.
So thanks.
Verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. This is why it's so critical and so important that people, there's so many people being, we have never, from the church's standpoint, in my opinion, we have never been in a greater state of apostasy in the church than we are today. I don't care which church you go to. That I went to. I went to over 120 churches before I was looking for a church home. The reason every time that I heard the preacher or the Bible study teacher say how to get something from God, I got nauseous. That was the way the Holy Spirit revealed to me. Because to get something from God is the most odious thing that can be. And yet that's what man automatically does and automatically wants.
Unless he gives it to you.
So the whole mystery of God is empty, self-denial, total abandonment of self, taking no thought for yourself, positive or negative. So, okay, that's next. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4.
I found that same thing to be true the last 6-8 years I've been gone, all the churches I went to, they just, every one of them would like that, to either get something.
Well, the people people are okay, but I wouldn't want to be one of the preachers.
But they just...
1 Corinthians 4 or 2 Corinthians
4? 1 Corinthians 4.
You hear them talking, you just want to get up and leave.
Let's start in verse 8. You know, if you're Peter, John, you've already heard this because he studied the morning Bible study the other day, but that's tough. Verse 8, now you are full, he's talking satirically to the Corinthians, who were a very rich church. Now you are full, now you are rich, you have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we have made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the off-scouring of all things unto this day. Now, do you have any idea what off-scouring means?
Water.
It's the garbage.
Scum.
Always pictured it as somebody hosing down a deck.
That's good. We're the off-scouring. We're the garbage.
Lowest,
the world standard.
The lowest of the low.
Again, remember, we're studying a woman in chains. The ruler of men is in chains. The reason mankind exists is in chains. Now, he goes on, he said, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. The offscouring of all things, be followers of me. If you are still trying to be successful in the world's eyes, if you are still wanting the same things the world wants, and you know you're wrong. Those things that are highly esteemed among men are abomination to God. So if the things you want, if the things you desire, if the things you seek after are the same things that anyone in the world wants, you know you've been deceived. Amen?
I gotta admit, that's been the biggest thing I've dealt with the last 2 or 3 weeks, is I finally realized why I don't like really pretty women with a lot of money. Or
you introduce them to me. Okay, now go to 2 Corinthians 4.
Or Bill Gates or whoever, I'm just envious. And I want to be secure, and I don't want 50 billion, I just want 50 million.
Well, that's crazy.
I know that, and I gotta get out of here.
You gotta repent.
I finally realized that is what drives me, security, and it's a problem. That's why I'm bringing it up. It's a real problem.
Well, the only way you can get rid of it is by, you have to have seen its emptiness.
It is.
And if once you see its emptiness, then it takes no effort to walk away from a dump. Your dump, your dung. It takes no effort to turn away from yourself when you see yourself correctly.
I really can't.
You lose the I motive.
Get over this, yeah. It's a big thing.
All right.
Even after all these years, I mean, I finally, it's like, you know, being addicted to something. I just realize how envious, jealous.
How's that worked out for you?
Well, I don't know. I got a couple $1 million yesterday that helped out. But, you know,
but
it's
no,
not, it's
but
not
that hadn't
happy.
Worked out. I'm talking about how's it worked out for you.
Not very well.
No.
It's paid the bills, but.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 7. Again, remember this thing being in chains. 2 Corinthians 4. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You're not bearing about your dying, you're dead. We always bear about the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You're not suffering. You've been called to be a partaker of his suffering, to fill up the affliction that's lacking in the body of Christ. Amen? Amen.
Well, I want to interrupt and finish one little line of thought about the eye thing. And this money that came in was a long time ago. I didn't think we'd ever get it. And it came in 3 or 4 days ago. And I thought, now I'll wake up and I'll feel great, and I won't be stressed out, and I won't be, you know, weird and unhappy and depressed and all that stuff. But I was. I mean, It solved my problems for the next year or two, but it didn't do any good. Like you said, it did not work for me, and I was very surprised.
Remember, you're talking to somebody who makes $55 a week and may not be able to make payroll next week.
I know, and that's where we were. We couldn't make payroll in November.
Well, I'm just kidding.
But you know what I'm saying. It really hit me that I really believed when that money was in my bank account that I would switch and there'd be a relaxation and a this and that.
Isn't it time to repent, maybe?
I did.
All right.
I'll be right back. Please.
We have this trip. Let me, in verse 10, always bearing about...
About an hour.
All right. Well, repentance isn't an act. It's a way of life.
I know. But I still, once I saw it, and so, you know, golly, I dug this hole. I didn't dig the hole, but circumstances put me in this hole. Now God's delivered me from this hole, and yet I don't deserve it. It's grace and grace alone.
Yeah,
but
stop.
Yet I'm still, I'm still sorry.
Stop. You know what your biggest problem is?
The I motive.
No.
No, I don't know.
Your biggest problem is guilt.
Yeah, I can't forgive myself.
And you can't. God can't forgive you if you can't forgive yourself. You and I need to talk.
We have said something about that if we didn't need to move on. But yeah, I realize that I have a very big problem in forgiving myself for not.
Well, don't go through it. But you and I need to talk, okay?
Okay.
You and I just need to spend some time together.
Let's go camping.
All right.
The Weston.
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. You can't, you got to see that you're living in the la-la land in your minds, which is like playing a video game, and it has no meaning. If you're giving importance or breath to anything in time and space, you've fallen from the strong city. All right.
Want a glass of water, Ollie?
No. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15.
First or Second Corinthians?
1 Corinthians 15. There's no 15, Second Corinthians.
Well, okay.
What are you thinking?
No, I'm just, everything you're saying, you know, I'm taking
I thought you said 1 Corinthians 15.
1 Corinthians 15.
Because there is no 15. Second Corinthians, which I didn't know.
We know now.
I know now.
Little tidbits you'll pick up along the way here.
Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now, one of the things...
Can I ask you a question? When we get to the place where we are, just wait 6 seconds so we can get on the verse. I get behind that. So what verse are we on? 42.
Okay. Two. Corruption is... that's what we're studying. We're going to study corruption, but... Corruption is a word, it's P-H-T-H-O-R-E. It's plethora. And it means that which changes or denigrates with time. It's the second law of thermodynamics. It's entropy. It's evident in every form of science and every form of thought. Except in the human race. The human race believes in improvement. You're going to get better. And that's the big...
third big lie.
So the whole idea of corruption, this corruption must put on incorruption, but that incorruption must be of the truth. The truth is this mysterious word. In it's really hard to define truth, except in Hebrew. In Hebrew, it's emeth, and it means timeless. If anything, it changes with time, it can't be true. If any of, and this is the standard that you have to put your thoughts to. When it talks about bringing every thought into captivity, why give any breath to something that changes with time? Why give any importance to it? It's just, it's crazy. The top scientists in the world know that everything is denigrating, that nothing in and of itself can ever produce anything greater than itself. It's always downhill. But somehow the human mind deceives itself, and we get into all this crap.
We have Apple.
Well, but you're dead. Anyway. Okay, now let's... 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Now, all of the the chains on the woman are the flesh or corruption. Okay?
Do each of the links have some kind of name to it?
No, we could make up some just for you.
No, I was wondering if you already have written down there.
It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, and so it was written. The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. If he's the last Adam, who are you? If he's the last member of the human race, who are you? Albeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. There's only two men in history. There's Adam and Christ. There's only two generations. The generation of Adam, the generation of Christ. Doesn't matter what the generation of Adam does. It's meaningless. Amen?
Yeah.
So what are you giving breath to in time and space? What are you giving importance to? You're being deceived. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed or transfigured in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be transfigured. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So another way of looking at this, the chains on the woman are the fear of death.
Or what?
The fear of death.
Oh.
I mean, the chains are more than one thing, obviously. But fundamentally, the chains are corruptible flesh, the fear of death. Mainly, the chains are in your mind.
Can you go back just to that little thing you did while ago? Corruption is connected to those other three or four words. Corruption is
fear of death.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?
But there were other words that you used are connected to the word corruptible.
It's the flesh, it's the fear of death, it's the mind. It's all really in the mind.
Any projection, anything you project, and whatever it is, so long as it emanates from here, that's corruption.
Right.
That's good.
And here's the mystery of God.
It's good.
It's finished. He said it in those three words. It is finished. All we have to do is enter into that rest. That's the rest is the word Sabbath. We've been in God has put us in the night of the last day for 2,000 years, waiting for the dawn. And the dawn is waiting, his long suffering is waiting for you. There's no need for you to be deceived anymore by your emotions, by your thoughts, by your feelings, by pain, by suffering, by fear of death, by anything. Death is swallowed up in victory. You don't have to do that anymore.
You know, when I just hear the words of enter the rest, I just have this feeling, and then I go out the door and I forget it.
Remember this.
I get all back.
Remember the word manna?
Oh, fucked up.
Well, the word manna in Hebrew is a word that, I'm gonna say it. It's a word that fundamentally means, what the fuck is it? I mean, it literally means, what is it? But now, whoever ate the manna, it met every desire of their heart. Unless it was guilt or idolatry. If there was guilt or idolatry, and the manna was bitter. Now, that was the manna that was God produced from stuff. Jesus Christ is the manna from heaven. If you eat his flesh and drink his blood, then you can't possibly, the desire of your heart is fulfilled. You can't be deceived. But you can't eat dust and his flesh at the same time.
Yeah, we talked a while back about boredom and how, you know, if you're a believer, you know, you can't be bored.
No, if you say what's there, you can never be bored.
Yeah. And
you'll always get in trouble.
Yeah.
Better to be in trouble than be bored, right?
Oh, I can't. Boredom was the weird. I mean, that's the reason I got in so much trouble before I was a believer, because boredom was I couldn't stand it.
I can't either. I just get so bored.
Well,
with
then how could you be bored?
With anything, I'm just going like, why am I doing any of this? It's just boring. And so tonight I make this linkage of what you're saying wipes out that boredom.
We're going to take a side trip here real quick. Let's go to Genesis 3. This is after this is the curse, when God cursed the serpent, everything. course, we have to read the part.
I have a Genesis 3.
Huh?
I lost my Genesis 3. My heart fell out of the heart.
And the eternal words in verse, and starting in verse 9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Who told you that you needed something? Who told you that you have guilt that you haven't dealt with? Who told you any of this? That lying sucker, the serpent. And watch what happens.
What verse are we in now?
We're now in verse 12. Oh, okay. And the man said, The woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. All right. Now, unless you believe in talking serpents, you understand that was their mind. You believe that? The serpent was always the symbol of the mind. And we'll see that in a minute again. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, or better translated, by thy belly shall thou be led, and thou shalt, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I've never seen a snake eat dust, but I've seen the human race eat dust. That's all you eat. Everything that you desire, everything that you've ever wanted is made of dust. So Christ is saying to us, eat his flesh, get sustenance and satisfaction from his flesh, get worth from his blood, stop eating dust. I promise you, if you do that, if you can see that everything other than him is dust, No, watch. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3.
I like that verse 15, though. I will put enmity between thee and the woman.
Between thy seed and her seed.
One of them's got to die.
All right.
They can't exist.
Chapter 3. Philippians 3. Verse 18. Now remember, thy belly shall lead thee, is what the translation was. Now watch what it says in Philippians. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, whose God is their appetites. And the same, the curse. The snake is led by his appetite. It's the same, what's all your mind does.
And that's hard to hear. Savvy stuff.
Now, there's a bunch more scriptures. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. We're not going to read them all.
Have they got a pen? There's
one on the table.
No, on his chest. You know, one on his chest.
2 Corinthians 5.
What was that last one we just read? Philippians?
Philippians 3:18.
Thank you.
2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house, and that means your physical body, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, being in chains, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That's what the chains are in Andromeda. But the chains also indicate that there is absolutely nothing about a true Christian that the world would want. Anytime that you want something that the world wants, you know you've been deceived. Every time your mind takes you anywhere that's esteemed by the world, you know you've been deceived. But you know you've been deceived by experience. You've done it 1,000,000,000 times. And you know that it only brought emptiness and futility. Every time you trusted your mind, you've got to come to, you've got to see. You've been forgiven. Each one of you, you're a new creature. You make no reference to the past. You make no reference to yourself. Because the new creature, your new identity is no longer bound. You don't have to remain bound. You can put on immortality now. You don't have to wait until you die. That's your inheritance, and you're a fool for not accepting it. I don't have anything else to say tonight. Anybody have any response to any of this? Mary?
Serious stuff.
Pretty simple.
I'm going to go home and see my wife before she goes to sleep.
Good idea.
All right. All right, Pete. All right, Brendan.
Good luck. I hope she stays awake till you get there.
You're almost as much a pain in the ass as Ollie is, but you know. All right.
Glad to see you, man.
Be safe.
Yeah, always good to see you.
Have a good.
All right.
Andromeda. Got a new appreciation. There's all kinds of neat stuff about
it. This is really, really interesting.
Yeah. Wait till we get to the next deck on is Cepheus.
Are we still on? Is there more on Andromeda next week?
We'll be on Andromeda again next week for a little bit.
Okay, Cepheus.
But we're going to get to Cepheus.
Oh, that's.
It's the one that's upside down. If you're looking at Andromeda.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's close to the snake. He's always.
Is there
the
a significance that she's only chained with
touching
three?
Draco.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a significance that she's
looking person with the Drake over her shoulder?
Right leg is not chained.
No, I think it is. I think it's just not seen in this map.
It's chained also.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think the next one we're talking about.
That's the next one after Andromeda.
Yeah. You.
Is this Steffi?
Actually, the third decon of this.
No.
Is actually banned.
Well, there's there's Andromeda.
Let me find it here real quick. I gotta go back to where we were.
Just looks at the maps and stuff.
Cepheus. Yeah, it's right there next to the snake. Is that the one you're looking at?
That's okay. Got that drape over his shoulder.
Yeah,
and it looks like a
crown. Yeah, it is a crown. That's Christ.
I'm so glad you came back.
Good night, John.
Good night, John.
Good night.
See you, John. By the way, John, one spasm today.
Oh, that's great.
Well, one is a big.